You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to the Crime Roundup with the peerless Nancy Grace. Nancy, I could not wait to talk to you about what I have dubbed the Galileo defense.
Listen, when I was on MSM last night, Merritt Street Media, which you better be watching, is Dr. Field's new network. P.S., you can also get it for free online, MerrittPlus.com. That said, we talked all about cloud coverage, the weather scenario, the night of the Idaho murders. Oh, Cheryl, it was bad. It was foggy. It was icy, as I recall. I looked it all up on the Farmer's Almanac and through the Weather Bureau, but I held back. I did not mention the word Galileo because I knew that's what you were going to say this morning.
Well, I looked it up too. And here's the thing. If you're such a fan of the moon, I can't believe he went out November 13th looking at a Wayne and Gibbons that's only 74% good when he could have, on the 8th, gone out and looked at the full beaver moon. How about that?
Okay, don't even go with full beaver because I'm going to, you know, catch H-E-double-L online for that. But I want to tell you this, and I haven't said it. I thought about, I didn't put it together until after MSM last night. But Cheryl, I've had a lot of viewers writing in about where he said he was. And it's just like Scott Peterson, redo all over again. There is a parking deck there. You don't just drive out into that park. According to what I'm seeing online, where he said he was, there's a parking deck. So is there evidence? Is there photographic or is there a receipt? Remember Scott Peterson, when he went to go dump Lacey and Connor's bodies, he got stuck in the marina and couldn't really navigate his new boat, his new secret boat, that well. And so the attendant remembered him. So whether there's an attendant at 3 o'clock in the morning or whether there is an in and out, you know, automatic lift for you to get into the garage, there could be evidence that he was or was not there. Ruh-roh.
Exactly right. And, you know, the thing that just blows my mind about people now saying, see, he didn't do it. He wasn't anywhere near there. Now they want us to believe that the real killer obtained a knife, left a sheath behind with Koberger's DNA, drove a car similar to his, and committed the crimes while he was out looking at the moon.
One other thing is that he ordered that exact knife sheath and knife from Amazon, and we have that receipt. And I'm betting, Cheryl McCollum, that when they reveal his full digital footprint, we're going to find out where he searched for the knife and got that particular knife. Like, okay, here's an example. This morning, my dog ran out of squeaky toys. Fat Boy, the love of his life. And I went to PetSmart and I looked at multiple squeaky toys until I found the one he liked. Okay, example. Don't you know Koberger, as anal compulsive as he is, looked and looked and looked for the right knife? And how is it that he buys the knife and the sheath, and out of all his possessions, that's what's missing? So you've got his knife, his car in the area. You have his cell phone pinging there, according to the state. I think that there's going to be a real problem for the state, though, Cheryl, with the now admission that there is no stalking. And I want to remind everybody, it was not the state that put that out there to start with, that Koberger had been stalking at least one of the four victims. That was put out there by others,
not the state. In fact, the police said, LA law enforcement said at the get-go, we don't have evidence of stalking.
Mm-hmm.
But in open court, the state had to say there is no stalking. Now, what is the defense going to do with that? No stalking, no motive, no murder. That's my fear.
Well, Nancy, do you think he waited to create this alibi after the discovery?
Well, if the defense acted pursuant to every other defense attorney I have ever known in the history of my law practice,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
I do too.
Yes. And I want to point out something else. He is refusing to say exactly his coordinates until the state hands over more discovery. So he's not exactly telling us where he was. He's saying I was in this general area stargazing. What a coinkydink. Coincidence. That night, he happens to be in the area driving around at the time of the murders. When they say he's far away, he's not that far away. It's about 10 miles away.
That's right. Listen, I know we've got limited time. I want to shift gears and get your opinion about Oklahoma. Four people have been arrested. Tiffany Adams, Tad Cullen, Cora and Cole Twombly. But I want to talk specifically about the 16-year-old hero in this thing that has given law enforcement information about her mother and stepfather, Cora and Cole Twombly. 16. I mean, Lucy's age. And she's having to give information to law enforcement about what all went on and what she heard and what she was subjected to.
Another thing, I've been thinking a lot about her, like you have, Cheryl. If she is telling us this much, what does that mean about the rest of her life
yes.
with these ghouls?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
what this boils down to is the mother-in-law being furious, the granny being furious that the biological mother, now murder victim, was going to get more custody of the children. She was never going to get full custody. The grandma's son, the bio dad, was always going to have some custody. The whole bunch of them are. Let's just say they should all stew in the same pot together. But I'm very curious how this whole thing is going down, because just recently, you and I worked on the case of Dan Markell, the Florida law professor, who was killed when he refused to relinquish custody of his own children, and he refused to move to South Florida to be closer to the grandparents. He wouldn't do it. He ended up dead in the driveway, girl.
That's right.
And who was behind that, according to the state? The mother-in-law. You know what, Cheryl? You met my mother-in-law, Ann Lynch. God mm-hmm. rest her soul. And I've said this a million times. Right now, you know, I wear on my right hand, it looks like a wedding band, but it is actually some of Miss Lynch's jewelry melted down. And that's what I wear. And I never, in all the years I knew Miss Lynch, we never had a crossword. She probably bit her tongue off. Never said a crossword.
Sure.
Neither her nor Mr. Lynch. And when I think about, I mean, I just gave myself chills. When I think about a mother-in-law hating her daughter-in-law so much that you would go to the length of killing her rather than not having the grandchildren all the time. It's crazy, but not in a legal sense. Don't jump up with insanity on this. And another thing, how did she convince all these three other people to go along with a double murder?
Exactly. Well, they're God's misfits. But I'm going to tell you know, my mother-in-law too has never been anything since I was a kid. I've known her since I was 14. Nothing but supportive and kind and loving, and would do anything to help me be a better parent.
Oh, wait a minute. Anything to help you? Anything to help me? Do you remember that baby shower she had at her
Dude.
House? And there were lines of police officer and prosecutor and a couple of defendants that showed up, and she welcomed them all.
Y'all.
Oh, we had a good time. I wish I could do that all over again.
Y'all, let me tell you something. There were supposed to be about 100 people at that baby shower. People started coming out of the woodwork. The police literally had to show up and direct traffic. I don't even remember how many people we had. But listen, it was the greatest. It was absolutely just such a wonderful time in both of our lives.
At your mother-in-law's home. We all tromped through her house, and oh, we had the best time. And she was the most gracious and wonderful lady. And I almost feel guilty about talking about our mothers-in-law, because I got to tell you, I landed in a pot of honey when I hooked up with a Lynch family. But what I'm saying is, it just, and think about the grandchildren involved. The mother is dead. The grandma's going to jail. And the father, well, you know what? I'll let his record speak for itself.
And that's the thing that's so just gut-wrenching here. You've got six children that during the event immediately lost a parent. And then you've got the 16-year-old. She's got a brother. We're like at 8 or 10 children that lost a parent in some way.
And you know who nobody's talking about? The preacher's wife. She was just doing a good deed because the mom, because of the grandma, could only see her children with court supervision. So she was just going along as a good deed. She's a mother, a wife, very involved in her church and her community. She's dead. She was just a ride along. She was just a wingman. And she is dead. And when I think of those pools of blood outside that car and those depraved animals that did this to two unarmed ladies over what? Custody? Oh, how much custody do you think she's going to get behind bars? A weekly visit for a while, and then the grandchildren would go, Grandma who?
And I'll tell you something else. She thought she was being slick doing this while her son was in rehab, thinking she would give him an automatic alibi. He's liable to never see him again either.
Well, you're right about that. If it can be proven that he knew or could have known anything about it, that is an argument I would make to keep him away from the children.
Absolutely.
Because what else is going to happen? And what have they already lived through?
That's right. Listen, I know you've got to run, but I will leave this.
I feel like you're trying to get rid of me. I don't like it one bit.
I would never. But do you remember, speaking of the baby shower?
I think I feel somebody sitting on my coattails right now. Who is it? Oh,
honey, you know that. Remember that woman that asked me that? Oh, you're that girl that just rides Nancy Grace's coattail. I said, you doggone right, honey. Surf's up.
Now, wait a minute. What were you going to say about the shower?
My mother-in-law is just, like you said, just this sweet Southern woman. She is just the epitome of a lady. Everything is just perfect. But she told my father-in-law, don't you come back hunting. You stay gone until I call you. And he could not resist because he loved you so much. When he walked in those overalls with dirt and grime and fur and whatever else all over him, I thought she was going to pass straight out. But of course, you and Renee Rockle and everybody was so lovely to him too. But he was such a fan. So I just had to remind you of that part because there's a photograph of him kissing you on the cheek. And every time she sees it, she gets mad.
Oh, hey, I want a copy of that picture. Can I have a copy of that?
I will send it to you.
I remember that moment like it was yesterday. Oh, my goodness. And now the twins are driving. God help us all.
God help us all. I tell you, it just flies, but it's just the best time.
I guess we're going to have to go to Oklahoma and Idaho because I got to see these trials for myself. I don't want to see them on a TV lens. I want to see the whole thing.
Girl, I'll drive. Let's go.
Okay. Bye.
This is the Crime Roundup, and I'm Cheryl McCollum.